It's a privilege to be here. Is this working all right?
That's great. Thank you. It's good. Do you know, if every church, and listen, and a lot of you don't know me, but I don't say what I don't mean. Well, I try not to. If every church had changed in such a positive way as this church has progressed, I've been the regional group for 20 years, and some of you were here then, and it is a different church. And I'm not saying a better, because I'm not criticising the past, but you have managed to change. Eddie and Avril, thank you, and the rest of the team. It is really great. It is really great. Fine. Now, Eddie's a bit upset with me, because my football team, his beat his football team yesterday. Queen's Park Rangers. But he'll get over it. And I'm just thinking Derby are looking forward to playing them next season as well. So that one, just got to get that out of the way. It is good to see you. I had a mother. My mother was Irish. And she was very small. And she was deaf. And when she had a hearing aid, and like I'm ancient, so she was very old. And it used to whistle. Her hearing aid would whistle. And it's amazing, my mother's deafness. Because I'd say to her, could I have some money? And she'd be going, couldn't hear a thing. And then if she said to me, tidy your room up, I went, no, I'm not going to. Wallet. It was it's amazing how mums can be very unique. What I'd like to do is, I'd like to talk to you this morning. It's a bit of a sad story. It's got a happy ending about a lady in the Bible. A lot of the people in the Bible that made an impression, we don't know their names. You know, the centurion who Jesus said his faith was great, we don't know his name. So many people, the widow who put in the copper coins, the widow's mite, we don't know the name. And I often wondered, it would have been easy for the Bible writers to go up, Luke, to go up to somebody and say, what was your name? I want to get it right, because I might write a book later. But he didn't. Do you know why? Because the Bible's emphasis is this. It's not your, God knows your name already. It's not who we are. It's what we who we know is the important thing. So I'd like you to turn in Luke chapter 7, please. And it's a story of a funeral, but don't be sad, because it's got a great ending to it. But it's about a lady, a mum. I'd like to tell you the story of this mum. In Luke chapter 7, we're going to read from verse 11. Soon afterwards, Jesus went to a town called Nain, and his disciples and a large crowd went along with him. As he approached the town gate, a dead person was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she a widow. And a large crowd from the town was with her. When the Lord saw her, his heart went out to her, and he said, "Don't cry." Then he went up and touched the coffin, and those carrying it stood still. He said, "Young man, I say to you, get up." The dead man sat up and began to talk. And Jesus gave him back to his mother. They were all filled with awe and praised God. "A great prophet has appeared amongst us," they said. "God has come to help his people." This news about Jesus spread throughout Judea and the surrounding country. I need to pray. Father, this is your word. I'm just the speaker. I'm just the one who's taking human words and trying to share the truth from your word. But it's your Holy Spirit who'll be the teacher. It's your Holy Spirit who'll be the convictor. And we just pray, Holy Spirit, that you will own your word as you breathe it into being. Amen. Amen. This is starts out as a sad story. It just begins. It says, soon afterwards, Jesus went to a town called Nain, and his disciples and a large crowd went along with him. Before I get warmed up, that in itself is a very important little verse. It said, Jesus, the disciples, and a large crowd. Luke distinguishes there were two groups of people following Jesus. There was the crowd and the disciples. And the question I'd like to ask you, very simply, not in an aggressive way at all, is, are you part of the crowd or are you a disciple of Jesus? It's possible. Now, you couldn't have been able to distinguish between the disciples and the crowd. Disciples do not have halos over their head. They don't walk 3 foot off the ground. They're just ordinary people. You're sat next to a disciple, probably, and you're not that impressed. And from the way you're looking at me, you're not that impressed with me either. Right? So they're ordinary. But Luke distinguishes between the two. And I'd like to throw out a little question right at the beginning. Are you part of the crowd? And we're glad you're here. And if you're a visitor, you're the guest of honor. Let me assure you of that. But are you a disciple, or are you just part of the crowd going on? Couldn't tell them apart, but some were disciples. A disciple is the easiest way, I think, that I find to describe it. It's someone who's a learner. It's someone who has L plates on their lives. Now, in spite of what Pastor Eddie might say, I have passed my test. You know, and I have a clean license as of the post yesterday. One never knows. I try not to speed. I try to be a good boy. But there was a time when I hadn't passed my test. And I used my father, I can't believe he did it. He used to let me borrow his car and allow one of my idiot friends to sit in with me. This idiot friend is now a millionaire. How I wish I'd stuck with him. But anyway, his name was Clyde, and we'd go out in the car. And I can't believe it. And I said to my dad, can I borrow the car tonight? Who's going to be Clyde? I said, all right. He said, I've only one rule. He said, if you smash it up, don't come home. That's what he said. And then he said, ring me, tell me where it is, and I'll go and fetch it. But don't come home. Lovely man. He only sorted me out once, and that cured me of whatever I'd done. I'm not going to tell you what I did, right? But you see, when I went out with Clive, I had to have L plates on, because I was a learner. And disciples are people who are learners, not of Pastor Eddie or of me, although we hopefully are an example to you, but we are learners of the Lord Jesus Christ. And every Christian keeps his L plates on till they die or Jesus comes. We don't take them off. We're always learning. And of course, with a learner, you cannot go in the car without an experienced driver with you. Well, that is not Eddie or myself. That is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. So a disciple is someone who's learning to follow Jesus, getting it right most of the time, occasionally getting it wrong, of course, but has decided not to go anywhere on their own. Now, that's how you can tell if you're a disciple. Not whether you come to church a lot or whatever, you might be a citizen. Are you learning of him? Are you looking at him and thinking, I want to be like Jesus? My goal in life, I don't think I'll ever achieve it, is somebody to come up to me and say, do you know, Gordon, you remind me of Jesus. They've never done it yet. But that, I think, would be the greatest compliment that could be paid anyone. So, disciples are learners. They're people that don't go anywhere without Jesus being with them, because we are dependent upon him. So, the crowd is quite simple. We have Jesus there, and this crowd, Luke divides it into two groups. The crowd and the disciples. Then he says there, as he approached the town gate, a dead person was being carried out, the son of his mother, and she a widow. In those few verses, we have so much information. It's amazing, the information. Well, first of all, we realize it's a very sad occasion. This is a funeral cortege. I had the privilege of speaking at one of our minister's wife's dad's funeral this week, Pastor Rob Stiles from Burton. His father-in-law passed away. They very kindly asked me to speak. And we had a cortege of cars. And we crossed Birmingham. And I'm hanging on the tail of these fellas because I had no idea where I was going. And I'm watching, you know, a cortege. But in Bible days, you didn't have cars. You didn't go to the co-op. No co-op. You would walk to the cemetery. The cemetery would be outside the town. And they would walk. And this is what was happening. So we've got Jesus and a big crowd coming down the road here, you know, and there's a bit of a buzz because Jesus is there. The disciples are listening. The crowd are wanting to see what miracle Jesus might perform, whether he might feed them, actually. I think that's why half of them hung around and moved on. And then we have, coming over here, we have the funeral cortege. And we have the casket, we have the widow, and we have a crowd from the town. So these two crowds meet. No tension in the air, please. Two crowds are going to meet at the town gate, just outside the town gate. And Luke tells us, first of all there, that it was the son of his mother. Okay, so we identify the bereaved was a son. And more than that, he was the only son of his mother, and that she was a widow. What Luke's saying to us is there, this was not the first time this lady had made this journey. Not the first time. She had walked this path before when her husband passed away. She was walking it again now in a far different way because she was walking behind the casket of her son. When her husband died, possibly, I don't know, her son was by her side. I assume he may have been of an age when he could have done. I don't know. But she certainly wasn't alone. If the boy wasn't with her at the father's funeral, he was waiting for her back at home to comfort her and be a joy to her. But this was different. She's walking. She's a widow. It's her only son. She may have had daughters. I don't think so. I think Luke would have said if there were. And sadly, in Bible stories, we often hear the names of the sons and the daughters are just all lumped together. Sorry, ladies, it won't happen here, but it does happen in Bible times. And so they come along as the crowd, and that's it. And so it was a very sad occasion, because this woman was now alone. I loved it earlier when Pastor Eddie spoke about church being a family. Please, you, from what I can observe, you really have to work hard to feel lonely in this church. Now, some are determined to do it, you miserable person. Oh, sorry, did I say that in church? That's a terrible thing to say. Let me say it again. You really have to work hard to be on your own in this church. There's friendly people, and you know, you can if you want. And I've met people that are determined not to be loved. Mainly mother-in-law. No, that was a terrible thing to say on Mother's Day. Terrible. Where's my car, Eddie? But, you know, this lady was now alone. There was no pension, no social security, no food banks and all the rest of it that could maybe help her. The pattern was, you looked after your children when they were young. They looked after you when you were old. And now she's alone. So walking towards Jesus is a woman who's been bereaved twice, is now alone. Her financial security, her future has a major question mark over it. Because what has happened? A very sad situation. But now Jesus enters the scene. And what Jesus does is quite strange. Let me explain to you what I mean. It says there, when the Lord saw her, his heart went out to her. First of all, Luke tells us that Jesus noticed when he saw her. Now, there's a difference between, I'm seeing you all now, but 2 hours from now, if you ask me what you're wearing, I probably won't. I remember Eddie's shirt, because that's a little bit like mine. You know, so I'll remember that. That's about it, really. I won't remember what you wear, because although I'm seeing you, there's no real engagement in that sense of communication. Not because I'm being unkind, but just there's a lot of you. Right. But I think when Jesus says that Jesus saw her, in that it was more than just, oh, it's a woman going to a funeral. I believe that all this information, all this data about her, he knew. And he knew that situation. And then having seen her, it says there, a lovely verse, his heart went out to her. Do you know, Jesus knows everything about you. He cares. So much so that his heart goes out to you. I was describing someone the other day, a member of the national leadership team. I won't mention his name, but I said to him, it was David Campbell. He's one of our national leaders. Okay, I'm not going to say anything bad about him. You know, I'd like to, but I can't. He's so nice. I said, David Campbell has a rare combination. He has a brain and a heart. No, there's no humour there. Because a lot of us have a good brain, but our hearts might not be there. Some have a great heart, the brain ain't there. I don't mean it's slow, but I'm talking about in ministry now. I think David's got both. I paid him a compliment there. Jesus, his heart went out. Now, I can watch some things on the news And in my mind, I get the information, but it doesn't affect my heart. But some other things come on the news, and I'm nearly crying. It's affecting my heart. Anything to do with kids. And, you know, we had a major tragedy in Derby some time ago with a house fire and the children, you know. Even we think about it, our hearts go out. When we get these Sunderland scores, it doesn't affect our heart. Totally oblivious. Just goes, that's why I'm bald, because it just goes straight over the top. But anything to do with Ben, now I'm a granddad, oh, the old heart goes. And I'll say, my wife was, anyway, I'll tell you about a story yesterday. She says, don't. And that's what happened to Jesus. You are not a piece of news. You're not just something coming on the 6 o'clock news and so, move on to the next item. When he saw her, his heart went out to her. He was engaged in her situation. And this idea that God's up there and you're down here and there's no possible communication, let me tell you, he sees and he cares because his heart goes out to us. Well, then he did some strange things. First of all, it says he said to the lady, don't cry. Now, we have in Elam something called ministers in training. When they first become a minister, they're called ministers. I've got to tell you now, if Jesus was a minister in training, the next three things he does, I think I'd have had a word with him about. Right? He went up to the bereaved and said, don't cry. I've never said that. I would never say to the bereaved, don't cry. Bereavement is only love without the person you love being there. That's what bereavement is. It's a genuine, it's not a bad thing, bereavement. Tears are not a bad thing when someone you love is not there. Of course not. But he went up to her and said, don't cry. In fact, one of our younger ministers did that. I wouldn't say anything straight. I might pull him aside and said, you know what, I wouldn't say that. Please, ministers should try and control themselves. They're supposed to help the family. We're all bawling our eyes out. Who's going to get on with the job, you know? So sometimes we have to be in control, and that's a good thing. Self-control is a good thing. But he was affected by this. But he said, don't cry. And I think that was a hard thing to say. Does he not know? If you were a bystander, if you were one of the crowd, if you were part of the crowd that came out of the fancy saying to this woman, don't cry. If there's anybody in this town who's allowed to cry today, it's her. And it sounded a bit hard, don't cry. But then he went up, not only did he say to her, don't cry, he said he went up and touched the coffin, and those carrying it stood still. Just again. Don't cry. And then he stops the funeral cortege. I've already said all my family are Irish. I've got to tell you now, at any of our Irish family funerals, if a stranger had come up and stopped the coffin on the way to the graveside, my uncles would have stepped forward. On block. Tell you something that makes you smile. When my dad died at 52, pardon me, smoking, frying pan, did everything wrong. Wore it was all. Right. And I was the pastor of our Brecon church. And my dad was buried in Mill Hill in North London. And when I went into the church, all the deacons from Brecon had driven up to the church where my dad died. It was very, very touching. I'll never forget them for doing that. But they all came back to the house after the funeral. So I had all my Irish uncles in the front room. And I had all these Welsh deacons in the back room. Because we were a bit wealthy, we had a front room and a back room. Do you have them in Birmingham yet? Right. And my sister would come out of the kitchen with a tray of tea, and I'd go back room to the Welsh deacons. Then she'd come out with a tray of whiskey, and I'd say front room to the Irish uncles. I've often wondered what would have happened if we'd got the trays mixed up. That was in that way. So there could be a bit of a smile even on sad occasions. But he stopped this. Now, I thought, hang on a minute. If it was a minister in training, I said, listen, don't slow things down. The sooner this poor lady is on the way home, the better, because this is a tough day for her. But Jesus doesn't. He stops the cortege. Again, a very... And then, if it wasn't bad enough, telling her not to cry, if it wasn't bad enough stopping the cortege, he then, and there's no humour coming here, he then speaks to the dead person. Each of those three things were wrong, unless what Jesus said to the young man, which was, I say to you, get up. If that young man had not got up, everything Jesus did was wrong. But because the young man got up, everything Jesus said was right. So when Gordon says, don't cry, it's wrong. When Gordon interrupts a funeral, it's wrong. If Gordon speaks to a corpse, it's wrong. But when Jesus, the Son of God, does that, it's not wrong, because he knew what he was going to do all the time. And this woman's world has changed. His heart went out to her. When your heart goes out to someone, you have to do something about it. So if we showed you a DVD this morning of children in need, and your heart was touched, and we had an offering, you would probably give to that because your heart was touched. Okay. Well, he speaks. Now you might think, well, how could he do that? Please, again, no humour, I'm just telling you the story. You think, well, wouldn't there have been a lid? How could he sit up? But in Bible days, they didn't have caskets like we have today. It was probably a wicker basket, very similar shape to possibly a casket that we use today in our country, but it had no lid. And when you think of Jesus' burial, the person was placed into the tomb, and there was no casket, the grave clothes were left. And so, when the cortege came out, Jesus could see and could speak, and the young man was able to sit up because there was no lid in this wicker basket that the dead person was placed into. Now, I've mentioned the Irish several times. I actually think this young man was Irish. Because you know the first thing he did when he came back to life? He started to talk. And I think that's a sign of an Irishman, don't you? Having to talk. But he says there, the dead man sat up and began to talk. And then it says, Jesus gave him back to his mother. What did that mother long for more than anything else? Her child to come back to her. If there was any prayer that this mum had made, and please, I say with great gentleness, there may be those in the room today who know, you say, I've been there, and our hearts go out to you, I mean that. Bless you. But he gave him back to his mother. Now, you'd have thought, well, surely, this miracle that Jesus performed, surely, and those of you who go to church regularly, you'll know what I mean, or, you know, surely the least they could have done was get his testimony. You know, I've got to tell you, if the widow of Nain's son was in a church up the road, you'd all be up there listening to him. You wouldn't be here listening to me. You know, we can listen to Gordon any time. No, Jesus didn't do that. He didn't get him on a world tour. He didn't get him on the God Channel. He didn't get him any DVDs. He didn't book him for the conference. Jesus did a very simple thing. He gave him back to his mother because that's why his heart went out to her. He didn't expect. Jesus didn't. Strange. Jesus never performed the miracle to draw a crowd. His teaching drew the crowds because he spoke as one who had authority. Because all the rabbis ever used to do was quote other rabbis. Jesus quoted himself. That's why he stood out from the teaching practices of the day. And so he gives him back to his mother. Well, the crowd were filled with awe and praise God, I should think so. And then they said, a great prophet has appeared amongst us. God has come to help his people. Now I've got to say, I was a little disappointed there. You'd have thought, having seen somebody raised from the dead, that have all shouted out, this is the Messiah, the Son of God. But they didn't. They said, a great prophet has come amongst us. And initially, a little bit of criticism from me, thinking, oh, I'd love to see that. I've never seen a resurrection. That would be brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. I feel I'm in need of one right now first. But they didn't. They said, a great prophet. And then I realized that in the Old Testament, there were two prophets who raised two boys from the dead, Elijah and Elisha. So what they did was, what they saw, instead of relating it to Jesus, They related it back to the Old Testament and they said, hang on a minute, didn't we read in Kings or somewhere that Elijah raised a boy from the dead and Elijah, yes. So they took what they saw, they plonked it in the Old Testament and came up with half an answer. Because he was a prophet, but he was the Son of God. And news about Jesus spread throughout Judea. So he didn't have to exploit the young man in the sense that he was the recipient of a miracle. He didn't have to ask the mum to do anything. The very fact he did it, word about him spread throughout the whole countryside. Almost, you've listened ever so well. Let me close this just to comfort you. I have another thought I'd like to leave with you. Now, I don't know if this is right. If your pastor doesn't agree with me, next Sunday you can put it right. And I won't, you know. Okay. I wonder that when Jesus was walking there and saw this lady coming out, her son, her only son, I wonder whether he thought of his own mum, Mary. I wonder whether he thought to himself, not long from now, Mary is going to be walking behind my basket as I'm taken to the tomb after my crucifixion. Now, Jesus had other brothers and other sisters. Scripture tells us that. Without again wanting to be clever, Mary is no longer a virgin. She's had other children by natural means with Joseph in that sense. But Jesus had that special place because when Joseph died, Jesus' earthly father, there's no mention of him after Jesus' visit the temple at the age of 11. So between 11 and 30, Jesus' natural dad, Joseph, passed away. He became head of the house. He then became responsible for his mother. So this boy was responsible for his mother, but he was not going to be there. And he thought to himself, that's me. I'm not going to be around to be responsible for my mum because I'm going to die, I'm going to rise, and then I'm going to ascend. That's why on the cross, Jesus entrusted his mum to John. He didn't entrust her to the other brothers or sisters because as far as we can understand, well, he just didn't do it. I won't throw any red herrings in there. And he said from the cross, behold your mother, behold your son. So on Mother's Day, we have this story of a mum who was left alone, but Jesus' heart went out to her and her son was restored to her. You say, well, that's not my situation, Gordon. I pray that will never be my situation. So do I pray that you'll not precede your children. That's not the way that any parent here would want that to be. But this is the point of the story. That in a world where maybe you feel you've been taken for granted, as a mum, maybe with a husband, maybe you're bringing children up on your own. Makes no odds to this story at all, whatever it is. And you might think no one knows, no one cares, no one sees, no one's really bothered. Well, I've got to tell you, from today on, you can't say that. Because Jesus sees, Jesus cares, and Jesus' heart goes out to you. You say, well, how can I know that? Very simply. That Jesus loved you so much that he went to the cross to die for you. Very soon it'll be Good Friday. And we'll be remembering a time when Jesus died on the cross, taking our sins and our punishments so that if we ask God to forgive us, that forgiveness is available, not because we deserve it, but because he purchased it. And it's his to distribute to who he wants because he is our Savior. And we're glad you're here. I don't want to take advantage. But may I just say that if you're not a Christian this morning, you say, Gordon, I'm one of the crowd. I haven't got my L plates yet. Well, let me tell you, Pastor Eddie and I have got some L plates in our briefcases that we would gladly give to you. We're not dashing off. And if anyone wanted to speak to us, one of us is really nice. We would like to speak to you and have a little prayer with you. Because I'll tell you this, it'll be the best Mum's Day you've ever had if you find the Saviour. Thank you for listening. You've been ever so good. Thank you.